Welcome to the 2011 Formula One Teams Association Fans Forum podcast, brought to you by Autosport and USP Content. Part 3, The Drivers, featuring Vodafone McLaren Mercedes driver and 2008 world champion Lewis Hamilton and Sauber F1 star Kamui Kobayashi. Let's join Photo Fans Forum host James Allen.
We're ready to welcome our guests for the final part, two drivers who need really very little introduction, the best overtakers in Formula One, Kamui Kobayashi and Lewis Hamilton. Well, thank you so much to both of you for taking time out of your schedules to be here today. I'm sure the fans really, really appreciate this. And let's start with a question for from Dan Jackson. Have we got Dan Jackson here? Yep. Dan's got a question. Just grab the mic very quickly.
Hi. I'm sure you've had plenty of time now to evaluate all the new additions to the car with KERS, DRS, the new tyres. Which one do you think has had the biggest impact now? You've had a few chances to try it.
Lewis?
Well, firstly, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the MPC. I hope you've had a chance to have a quick look around. It's pretty a special place here. Very, very fortunate to be able to come here and work. I think this is one of the best environments for everyone. Everyone that comes here, they just feel very, I think they're quite excited to get here to see all the cars and the history of this place. But now the season, I think for me, I love the new tyres. I think Pirelli have done an amazing job of, you know, I think, wasn't really sure whether or not they're going to be any good because obviously, you know, Bridgestone have been going for such a long time, has such experience in Formula One, and Pirelli to be able to come in and straight away live up to people's expectations is pretty impressive. I think probably the DRS is probably the most unique part KERS we've had before, but it makes it quite a lot easier to get closer to people. You know, it was very, very difficult to follow people, and then by the time you slipstream them, you're at the next corner. So the DRS kind of gives you the opportunity to catch them up and then be in a position to overtake. So I think that's been pretty cool.
How about you, Kamui? Which thing do you think has made the biggest difference from your point of view?
I mean, it's I think for myself as well, I think the DRS system is really a cool system. It's in the beginning of the season, we are really worried because it's safe or not. We never know because it's new stuff. But I mean, after a couple of races, I think each other understand it's really unique and it's very good. And psychologically, it's very important because it's not just for overtake. Sometimes we have to use really well, like when we get like back marker, for example. So it's really not easy, but I mean, it's really cool.
Lewis, has it made things too easy? Because we had a show of hands earlier on, and roughly about a third of people said it was they thought it was artificial, but that, not everybody. People are still making their minds up about it, but I know some of the drivers think it's just that when they breeze past Michael in Canada, for example, it's like that's not really what Grand Prix racing is all about. What's your view?
It's a difficult one because before we had the DRS, it was very, very, very tough to overtake, but you could do it, but depending on different circuits, you'd have the opportunity or you wouldn't have the opportunity. But I think what we're trying to achieve with it is to put the drivers in a position to be able to make to have a choice, firstly, to make the overtaking maneuver. But of course, there are some circumstances where you just breeze past someone before you get to the braking zone. Like I passed Michael last weekend, and I was able to move back onto the racing line. So it was way too easy. But I did watch the replay, and Eddie Jordan was talking about it being a special maneuver and stuff. I was like, it was, didn't just shows what he knows about. no, but in all honesty, I have to say Eddie's been a massive supporter of me, and it was good to hear him say something good about me. I think he was just taking the opportunity to say something positive. But yeah, so I mean, it's difficult, and they're always trying to move the point in which you're able to activate it. So, but it's not easy, you know. And there'll be times. I think the most important thing is that it puts you in a position to be able to overtake.
Perfect. Okay, is James Arnold here? Yeah, James Arnold has a question about the driver's input in it all.
Cheers. You were both probably the best overtakers on the grid by far, and you were both able to do it before the new rules were brought in. What is it you think that allows you to overtake where other people struggled, even before DRS, before Kers?
Kamui, yep. We loved some of your move last year. Alonso in Valencia, we loved that one, huh?
Last year, what's really important to overtake it was, I think we have to use really well the tires and strategy-wise as well. But, I mean, this year is very simple. We need the more quick, I mean, car hack to be fast. I mean, we have to get really good tire. And if we have off pace, for example, we just lose the speed and lose position as well. But I think, I mean, for myself, last year was it's really nice because we are more fighting to really get close, we're on the limit. But this year, it's really confident if we have good car, it's easy to overtake. I think, you know, I don't need the job like last year, you know. So it's simply this year, it's less job for myself.
Too easy for him.
Yeah. What is it the qualities? Does it come from karting? Is it just your mentality? What is it? To answer his question, is it what are the qualities that are important?
I don't know. I guess it's the as simple as just whoever's willing to take the biggest risk, and there's a fine line between taking the risk and getting past. And then, as I've shown in the last couple of races, so. for example, I think it's a different, just a certain mentality you have. You know, I was with DC and Martin Brundle, and as a piece you're probably going to see probably at the next race. But we were doing an activity and a sport the other day, and I did the fastest lap of what we're doing, and I was on the limit because I take everything to the limit. And DC, whilst I come around flat out, DC was having a lift, and he was nervous of going any faster. And then you got Martin Brundle, who was a little bit older and wanted to go even slower. And what I was beginning to notice is that I guess it might come with age. So as I get a bit older, start to be a little bit more afraid of going as fast as I do through the corners. When you're attacking someone, right now I think we're young, we have nothing to lose. Perhaps, you know, he's done some amazing manoeuvres. So I kind of feel we've probably got something very much in common where we're really willing to take bigger risks than others.
Final question on this topic from Nigel Dalmut-Rudd. Yep.
Hi, as a frustrated Formula One driver myself, I often wonder what it's like when you pull off one of these fantastic overtaking manoeuvres. I wonder if you could sum up what that feels like.
Skamui?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's, I know that about 2 years ago, I was not in Formula One, in fact. I get quite bored as well. But, you know, I was in, that's my season in Toyota. And I think end of 2009, and I had the couple of overtake as well in the last race, and everybody was surprised, you know, how you overtake? Well, this is I think normal, you know, when I have a chance to overtake. And since from that, it's changed, you know. For example, in the last year, normally we had no really good car, but always we like end up qualify like 16 or something like that. And we finished like 8. And also we can change the strategy, all the stuff. And this is really cool. So I think for myself, you know, it's engineer once understand they have more chance to overtake, and they may give me the more aggressive strategy as well, which is making good for me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Lewis, final word on this?
Feeling. I think it's exhilarating. It's probably the most exciting part of the race when you have an opportunity and when you have the pace to, you know, and you're not too fast compared to the guy in front. When you're just creeping up on them, and bit by bit you're trying to see where they're weaker so that you can attack them the next time you go around. And there's a real science to it, and I love it. You know, you do lap after lap after lap, and the key is obviously every person you catch, you want to overtake them immediately. But, you know, also when you approach those people, you realize, you know from history how aggressive they are or how easy they are to overtake. So you're having loads of things to weigh up. But I think for me, it's, you know, it's exhilarating. It's massively, massively rewarding when you do pull off a great maneuver and you get past. And then, I don't know if you've ever heard me, but you do feel who's next? You know, who else can I catch and who else is up ahead? So sometimes you can't even see the guy ahead, and you get on the radio and say, who's, you know, who is up ahead and how far are they away, and you start attacking again, and because you just can't help but think, you know, I want to do that again.
Okay, thank you for that. Is Mark Breacher with us? Mark Breacher? Yep, at the back on the left there.
I'm interested to know, with all the technology, how do we find a way to see who the real best driver is?
Who's the fastest?
Either a shootout.
That's not easy. It's not easy.
I never said it was easy.
Yeah, but it's the simple way of doing it is just everyone being in the exact same car. And you have to go out pretty much at the same time because the conditions are always changing. And what you won't see on the Grand Prix weekends when we're doing qualifying and stuff.
Sure.
From the beginning of qualifying to the end of qualifying, the track evolves sometimes. There's been laps that I compare to Jensen where I've had an amazing lap, and for some reason, down the straight, I'm 5 kilometres slower than him. And it might be just that just for that one straight, I got a headwind or something like that,
or
it might happen to him. And so, it's difficult to do it, have the perfect conditions for every single driver, but to have the same car, that's the only way you would ever truly see who was the fastest driver.
It'd be great to find a way to split the championships up so that we saw at the end of the year the drivers was really relevant and it didn't take the car into consideration. Knew then.
How about you, Camus? Would you be up for that? Everybody in the same car?
Yeah.
See who's fastest?
I had a couple of interesting ideas, but nobody agreed, you know. It's, I want to share the driver and the car every races.
I'm sure you do. I don't want to drive your car.
No, they agree, you know. I like to do, you know. Maybe one day I drive Hispania, you know. I drive alongside McLaren. This is cool, you know. But nobody agree.
But the problem is, if you were to do that, you know, conditions, as I said, are changing all the time. And so how are you going to actually know from one track to another? How are you going to know if you go to a Hispania car? And then the next race I go to an Hispania car, how are you going to know actually that we're better than another? The only time you can compare someone is if they're in the same car, same conditions. That's the only time you can do it. So that's why you're always trying to be faster than your teammate, because that's the only evidence you can have of whether you're better than them or not.
Okay, Steve Cobby. Is Steve Cobby around?
Yeah,
he's got a question about what we see on what the fans see on TV in terms of the onboard cameras.
You guys are fantastic, actually. But
my
question, really insignificant, but it was in the Canadian Grand Prix where Martin Brundle was saying, what you're seeing on the onboard camera isn't what the driver sees. Is there a way that we can get technology so we can see exactly what you can see?
It's funny because I was literally, there was in a cockpit the other day and I was thinking that exact thought, because, you know, you watch it from up here, from the view that you have, which when I'm playing the PlayStation game, that's the view I use. It's much easier from up there, and it looks easier. But I was thinking maybe in our helmet we could have, just to the outside of our eyes, you could have a camera. So, you know, the cheek pad comes up here, and then the visor, the helmet turns here. You could probably have a camera here, maybe. That's extra weight, and those things. And that means we have to, you know, I don't know how much cameras will weigh, but I'm sure you can get a small camera there. But it'll be interesting for you to see what we see, you know, it's because it's a massive, massive difference from all the view that you have.
Camille, what's your thoughts on that? What would you like to stick a camera, if you don't mind me asking?
No, I think same as Luis, you know. I think it's really different from the upside of the camera and the way we see view. But I think that what I feel is if you can feel people, like feeling what we get all the information, maybe we can say maybe track is this part is dirty, whatever, you know. I think this is also interesting part, because this is for us the most important. And if we get this information, we lose a lot of grip and also performance. But I think otherwise, the camera here is a really good idea, not only.
Yeah. It would have to be two heavy as well. You couldn't just have one from this side, because the view, if you close your left eye, for example, the view is just completely different. Your feeling is completely different. So you have to have a camera here that somehow integrates just like your eyes do.
Okay, let's move on. Is James Hughes here?
Yeah.
James Hughes has got a question. Seeing as we're surrounded by some amazing McLarens driven by Ayrton Senna, here's a question for you.
I kind of forgot my question, to be honest with you. So if you had
the opportunity to ask Ayrton.
Yeah, if you had the opportunity to ask you, like I've got the opportunity to ask my hero anything in the world, you know, what would you ask yours, and what would you say to them if you had the opportunity?
So if the chance to, if you had the chance now to ask Ayrton Senna a question, what would you ask him?
You think, how do you start a conversation with someone like that, you know? When you meet someone that you're a huge admirer of and you're, you know, you're obviously always nervous, so you, the actual questions that you probably would have, when you come away from the conversation, you think, what the hell was I thinking? I don't know, I think I probably wouldn't ask him anything about racing, because I've always thought, before I got to Formula 1, I thought when you meet famous people, the last thing they want to, you know, they've always been asked for autographs. So if I ever meet someone famous, the last thing I'll do is ask for an autograph. You have a conversation, so hopefully they appreciate that more, I don't know. But I'd probably ask him something like, you know, what was his favorite music? You know, I don't really know what was his favorite music. Maybe I should ask his sister or his mum or something, but be interesting to, you know, for me it's kind of reggae. Reggae is my favorite kind of music, but be interesting to see what he, you know, what floats his boat.
Camus, what would you, Senna, was Senna important to you?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. But I don't know what to ask really. Car. What's car driving or something?
Yeah.
Maybe I know what I'd ask him. I'd ask him how the hell he qualified a second ahead of everyone at Monaco.
Yeah.
It was a second, wasn't it?
He was in the that was in the film, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Camus, you're also part of the reason you're here today. Do you want to talk about a little bit about the earthquake appeal, didn't you? That you're involved in.
Yeah. I mean, in fact, three months ago, we had a big earthquake in Japan. Actually, you know, it's getting better. Situation is really better. But I mean, it's taking time, like more than 10 years, I think, because so many people losing the house, of course, job as well. I mean, it's a big trouble at the moment. But yeah, I mean, it's already many supporters help us, and it's really. We give the wish to so many people. When I come back, we organize a lot of like event to give some wish or whatever. And also, if we can invite to Suzuka in the North people for free, this is what I try to do. It's not easy because it's a very expensive ticket to Formula One, but I try to pay even. I want to invite. I think. I mean, after 10 years, I want to see what's happened, if we can gain really good image about Formula One. Because, I mean, this is really dream job, especially for young guys. And if they can get a good feeling seen from that, I think in 10 years, I think we can get more fans for Formula One. And I think racing, it's really like a pure challenge, you know. So this is, I want to tell them.
And the drivers have all done something to help as well, haven't they, over the last few months? There's been a lot of activity going on with the drivers, hasn't there?
Yeah.
If there's anything you guys can do to help, Camus has very kindly come along today, and we really appreciate his time, as we do, of course, of the 2008 world champion, Lewis Hamilton. So to these gentlemen, a big, big thank you for coming today.
And that brings the 2011 Photo Fans Forum podcast to a close. Many thanks for listening.